Hi, you are first.
I am first. Well, technically you were first.
Oh, that's true. Well, I had to let you in, so I had a head start. But the between you and I don't know who's won more, you or Vixen Dixon in terms of the little first game. So,
I think I've come at least pretty close by now.
Yeah, you certainly have. Well, this is the first time we've had a chance to talk like this, so I am recording it. If you don't want me to record it, I'll stop recording it.
No, that's fine.
But what would you – do you want to just kind of do the normal? Do you want to tell your story? Do you have something in mind? What would you like to do?
I thought I'd just tell my story again.
Okay.
Because I told it once to Job, and he was kind of sad about it that I didn't that we never recorded it.
Oh, so well, good.
I guess we do it this, like, the true way.
Yeah, the original way, the first way, yeah. At least for this little channel. So go ahead and introduce yourself and go ahead and begin. I'll just try and pull it out of you as we go.
I have confidence in your pastoral abilities to get it out of me if I stumble. So, well, let's just start. I was raised Catholic, went to Catholic school, grew up very much in a Catholic context with a big family.
You live in Germany, correct?
I live in Germany, yes.
Yeah. And people often don't know that Germany has a significant Catholic population. Always associate it with Lutheranism, but...
Yeah, especially left of the Rhine. It's where the Romans were, so... we had this discussion just today on the Discord about German culture, and I said, well, there's a lot of difference between left of the Rhine and right of the Rhine.
Okay.
I live now right of the Rhine, but just in that very Catholic space, close to Mainz, which is historically very Catholic. Yeah, that's where I grew up. That's where I still live. I was raised Catholic. My parents had both Catholic, both big family. I only have a brother. So, I kind of lost my faith, like the usual way you grow up in this secular liberal context in a way. It just goes out. You just don't spend much time thinking about it.
What percentage of Germans go to church? Germany's fairly secular, isn't it?
By now, yes.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Now that I'm back, I realize how much of the faith is still there everywhere, which is kind of weird because I never noticed it that before.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you any numbers now.
Okay.
I grew a lot, like playing video games and stuff, and that was always good. Fine for me. I'll get into that. And then I stumbled across the usual atheist arguments. And one day I just made the decision I couldn't believe it anymore. It's what culture told me. It's what everyone around me told me. It wasn't quite lived out. So I didn't have like any relationship to that. And my mother was taken aback by that, though she always told me like, you still believe, you just don't know it. um Yeah, so most of my life, I went to school. After school, I did my civilians, we call it, which is like the, it's, you either go to the military or you do, what is the term? Or you are a conscious objector in a way, mm-hmm. which is basically a formality.
Yeah.
And so I did that at the, funnily enough, at the evangelical parish in my hometown. So I never could get rid of it anyway. I never knew what I wanted to do with my life, and I mostly did all that. I was perfectly content living my life, sitting at home playing video games. So, yeah, typical bucko. So, yeah, and it's always, and so I always got some push, especially by my mother, to finally get my, get in gear and do something. So I started doing something in IT, which I finished relatively easily, though I had never like any real passion for it. I just did it because, well, I played video games. I like computer stuff. So I wanted to go in that vein. And then I thought I'd go studying, though. And I went further into that, but that wasn't for me. No, which I also mostly spent my time playing video games. So that's like basically how that went. Then I kind of had the feeling that it was given to me to not given that it was expected of me to do to study and do something. So I tried to so I studied linguistics for a while, and I was doing a bachelor's degree until it came to writing the thesis, and I just I got blocked, and I couldn't do it, just procrastinating everything, which is, I think, a usual problem for many young men. So yeah. I didn't finish it, and I was having this existential angst because I didn't know where to get money. I never really worked, and I felt like trapped. So I went and did some work. I did some work while I studied, and then I asked there if I could get a full-time job. And that's what was I doing. It was working at a storage facility, like packets, doing packets and like sorting goods and stuff. And that's what I've been doing for a long while.
Okay.
And mostly spent that time like going to work, going home, playing video games, smoke the occasional weed. And I continued that. So one time while I did that, I sat there, and when I played video games, I always I fell into the habit to listen to podcasts and stuff or something in the background.
What kind of video games do you play?
Mostly single player action RPG type games.
Okay.
Not
you listen on YouTube or podcasts, or how does that work?
Yeah, on YouTube often. Always also spend a lot of time watching YouTube stuff, watching Let's Plays and other people playing video games. So that was pretty much my world. So
okay.
All about video games.
Yeah.
And one evening I sit there listening to a podcast. To an episode, usually I'm very selective about what I listen. I listen to people I want to hear about or I know. And I was listening for a while to the H3H3 podcast. And I saw pop up this. There had been two episodes with that guy, Jordan Peters. And I did see it a few times. I just ignored it, didn't click on it. But one time I was out of anything to listen to, so I started that. And I was sitting there playing and listening to this Jordan Peters and stuff. So got kind of into it, listened, really interesting. The stuff he said about Hitler was very interesting. Until he once started talking about the psychology and talked about like neurotic people with high neuroticism. And he just perfectly described like how I felt often, like and that gave me a real sting in that moment, like because I always thought I was kind of alone. I was not special, but an unusual case. and then there came this, and I was like, interesting. And I kind of panicked because he started talking about this stuff, and the most important part, he started talking about how to get better, how to get out of it, and that's where I stopped it.
You didn't want to get better. You liked the way it was.
I didn't want to hear it. I totally didn't want to hear it. I was taking my phone, I was pausing it, and then I stood up and I walked around. I walked around it until like totally fighting, wrestling with myself, or wrestling with God, you could say. I consciously. Well, maybe I have to get back a bit about conscious decisions, because I think that's important. Because when I was stuck at my studies, writing the thesis, and I took a long time to write the thesis, so I spent a lot of years just doing nothing, and people were up in my case about it, of course. And I made the conscious decision, really the conscious decision one, why is it bad to not live up to my potential? I made the decision to not live up to it. Just doing a job, earning money.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And so when you ask that question, why is it bad to not live up to your potential? What did that do to you? Because suddenly you're at a you're in a sense have to embrace. But asking the question that way of yourself, you know, obviously forced in a sense a certain degree of an existential crisis. What are you going to do? Am I finally just a chicken in a cage pecking at grain, or am I a human being? In some ways, that's the question.
Yes, that's the question. And I wanted to be the chicken. I clearly wanted to be the chicken at that point.
Keep talking. I have to turn on my fan and grab my water bottle, but I hear you just fine.
So in the end, it wasn't maybe even that bad. Because while doing the job, I did learn that I had value to a degree, because I did my job very well. I was good at my job and people liked me, and you could say I felt a bit spirited with that job. It just was like a job where you could get nowhere. So yes, going back to Peterson, I made that. I was standing with my phone, and I was wrestling with myself, and there I made the conscious decisions to continue listening. And
wow.
And he talked about the understand myself and all that stuff, and from that started with the Peterson hole. So I watched everything Peterson and Spip Legal Series. I still played video games.
There's room for that. But you decided to not be a chicken anymore.
In a way, I still was sure at that point. The good stuff about my job by that point was I was then at a different department where I could just spend my time listening to a lot of stuff, a lot of Peterson stuff while I was at work. That was pretty good. I don't have that now anymore, but I so I spent this time listening to Peterson, and then I started listening to the biblical series, and it kind of blew me away. So, because I didn't know, all I knew about Christianity, even that there was some cognitive dissonance there, even if I grew up in a conscious, I was always critical of the atheists, of the new atheists types who were criticizing religion without knowing anything about it. Who never really lived in the context, because I knew it wasn't like they described.
Yep.
Although I still believed that every Christian was some kind of fundamentalist. That's like, right. That's where the cognitive dissonance was.
Right.
So, and then John Peterson started about the Bible talking about the Bible this way. And I thought, interesting. I want to get a Christian perspective on this. So then sometime I saw a picture, a video of you in my feed, and I think it was the video Is Jordan Peterson Dangerous?
Oh, okay.
It was one of your shorter ones.
Yeah.
But I was really really admiring the way I would say I was in that time, I was in the Peterson idolatry phase. So anybody is saying bad stuff about Peterson, I was getting angry at. And I was really surprised by the way you handled that, because you really, really had this down-to-earth approach, and like saying everybody, of course, everybody has this opinion, and everybody here streams this opinion, and yeah, that really spoke to me. I watched more of your stuff, and that got me into C.S. Lewis, and C.S. Lewis got me back into really, really considering Christianity. So I spend a lot of time listening to C.S. Lewis stuff, to your stuff, to John Wawacki stuff. And especially I also started to do, to say yes to more things. To actively seek out opportunities to get out of my house and doing stuff. So I also started taking singing lessons because I like singing, but I never had the inclination or the courage to go somewhere to do it.
That's awesome.
Especially
for someone high in neuroticism, singing is bold.
Yeah. I already sang in group in front of people. Now I also sing in the choir, which is much easier because you just sit there.
Yeah.
Between people, stand there between other people.
Yeah.
I got into C.S. Lewis. I listened to a lot of C.S. Lewis while at work and stuff. And at work was a problem because I knew that the company was being shut down. Mm. So there was the new existential crisis, basically. And I had to find to find the job. And here I was, like, I had finished apprenticeship in the IT, but I was totally out of the loop with that. So I didn't felt like that was really an option for me. And I always did bad, like, with interviews because of my neuroticism. So I never made really a good impression. And yeah, so I was looking for different jobs, and that went on like a year and a half till I got the info, until it was really time. So I wasn't fully back into the faith yet. The first step I made was like going to Mars at Christmas for the first time in a long while, and it felt good. The other thing I did was join a meetup. It was not a Jordan Peterson meetup, because almost nobody in Germany knows Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
But it was a meetup about Christians and skeptics. So met some cool people there. Then that meetup kind of by now got the initiator moved away. So, and now it's COVID. So.
Yeah.
So that's
that. Kind of scotch the meetups.
Yeah. And I went back to mass that, but I wasn't fully back into it. I started watching a lot more Catholic stuff on YouTube. And I was like on the fence, you could say. Then there was, and the deciding moment was something like, a woman, of course. Well, someone I met on the dating site, and that I would say, that was like my other idol, like getting a girlfriend, a family or something, yeah. But I was high in neuroticism, very shy.
Yeah.
I never really could do something about it or would do something about it. Yeah. So that was like, and it was like, to me, like, the situation was something It wasn't special, but I thought that was a good situation for it wasn't something big or something. It was, but it was something like that, like shook me because she didn't want anything to do with me. not in a negative sense, but because right. She sensed I was too serious, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, scared her off a little
bit. Yeah, I was always of the opinion it only matters if it's serious.
Yep.
So
Yeah.
Yeah, that scared her off, and that really hurt me. That totally hurt me. I was and I had on the day after that I had an interview, which wasn't anything interesting. It was also walked out of that. It was nothing for me. but I also applied for a job at a care home for the elderly, and so I got shut down that one day. I couldn't sleep the whole night. I was really hurting.
Yeah.
And the next day I had that interview and I got up and it still felt as bad the whole day. Really, I was close to tears the whole day. So it was really wrecked me in a way. Yeah. But then I get this call like the day, immediately the day after when I applied for that other job. And that's where I thought, here's a door opening. And I made an appointment the same day, went there, made an application for a trial work day, which I went to. That was around Easter. And that was exactly the time where I went back to church regularly. So I had that day and I asked and I didn't get the job.
You didn't get the job, you didn't get the girl, but you did start going to church again.
I did going to church again. Then I went back to church regularly. I was completely like back in my faith. I was watching a lot of Catholic stuff on YouTube and thing. I still watch your videos and all that. Not so much Peterson anymore because he was gone.
Yeah.
So until my parents got the IT to apply at another home. If I thought that was the door opening, if that was a way I could pursue, then I should keep at it. And we know some people, one in a care home where my grandparents were, which is very close to me. And we know the one who was administrating it, which is a sister, and she is in the choir I went back to. It's a church liturgical choir. It's an amateur choir, but so I got, and I was still reluctant to ask. So, so my father kind of forced the situation. Which was good.
Wow.
And she said, yeah, it's perfectly time because we are now running the applications. Just get them to me.
Okay.
And I applied and, well, now I work there.
What? you started going to church. You got the job. So what about the girl? No girl yet. Okay. Well, all in good time. Trust me, when you're young and single, sometimes you don't think it'll ever happen, but In time, usually it does. So
yeah, I'm not that young anymore, but
well, you're still compared to me, you're young. Still got hair. That's that. You got that going for you. We'll put this video up. We'll have them calling. Although my numbers in Germany are not that high, so.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Have I talked to any German women who have contacted me through this? I don't know any. There's a couple from Europe, but I don't know any from Germany. So yeah, this might not be a fruitful tree in that regard. So no. Wow. And so here you are. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you're very active on the Discord. You obviously get to the videos first before just about everybody else. What have you found in this community that keeps you here and coming back and engaged?
Nah, that's a good question. Like-minded people, I would say.
Okay. Yep.
People who are aware of the world specifically.
Yeah. Well, let me ask the question this way. I'm especially curious about the Discord, because for me, this whole thing has been, I mean, I didn't wake up at the end of 2017 and say, I'm going to have a YouTube following. And so that happened. And then, you know, people from watched my videos were like, we should do a meetup. Oh, okay. So we'll do a meetup. And then that started happening. And then some people in the meetup are like, we should do a Discord. And actually we started one a few months before it actually really got going and just didn't kind of go anywhere. And then for some reason it took off and it's gone well. And the Discord has been, you know, it's certainly not a church. And you know that as well as anyone. A church, we know what a church is. And the Discord is not a church, but there are elements of community in that Discord that are church-ish. You know, it's sharing, it's not in person or face-to-face. We don't do sacraments. We don't celebrate Mass on the Discord. There's confession sometimes. What do you think is going on there?
Some parts a study group, yeah. Some parts a community get together,
yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Affirmation is a part of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very, I mean, the internet can be a rather unkind place, let's say it that way. And the Discord community, I have found to be both honest and kind. And that's a valuable thing.
Yes, and I think that's the important, the honesty.
Yeah. People on the Discord aren't afraid to disagree with each other. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's true.
but they can disagree. They can disagree with each other without necessarily becoming disagreeable.
Yeah. Which doesn't mean I don't get irritated.
Yes. No. Of course. That certainly happens. So tell me about when you get irritated. What kinds of things irritate you?
That's too dangerous.
Okay. Might be a safe space, and don't wanna poke any bees' nests here.
Because Because I also see that when I get irritated, it's also a fault in myself, because I know that I lack humility to appreciate the other's viewpoint.
Yeah.
Even and if I think they are wrong.
Yeah. You don't have to agree with it, but it's a mark of maturity to be able to listen to an opposing viewpoint and continue to disagree, but engage with it seriously and respectfully. And it's a mark of Christian maturity to have your viewpoint attacked, perhaps even unfairly, and not respond. I mean, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, I'm working on the Sermon on the Mount now for Sunday morning sermons. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, blessed are you when people, you know, persecute you and do so unfairly. I mean, that's what Jesus tells us.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, that doesn't feel very blessed. That feels the opposite of blessed. But every time that happens, it's an opportunity to practice what Jesus teaches us.
Yes. So, I mean, loving people is hard. So
It is. Well, I know you got there first, but did you, here's a question for you. When you get there first, do you watch the video right away?
Not right away, because I often have another video by you queued up that I finish first.
That's funny, because the video that I posted this morning, a conversation with Rafe Kelly.
Yeah, I watched them.
Did
just
you?
Just before this.
Oh, I didn't know, you know, so Rafe had contacted me and said, I'd like to get together if you're coming up to Seattle. And I was like, boy, I don't know if that timing's going to work out. He said, well, maybe we can talk sometime, but... And it never happened. And then I got an email from John Verbeke kind of introducing him and kind of making the foray. So, okay, let's set this up. And we set it up. And I didn't really know where that conversation was going to go, but it was so interesting and just fascinated me the way, you know, how his project is developing. It's just so interesting. And yeah, all, you know, around love.
I was at times rolling my eyes at that.
Well, sure. Well, you've already got your tribe. You're a member of the oh gosh, and I don't want to get to Catholic Orthodox wars here. But you know, the Roman Catholic Church as an institution is arguably the most successful institution in the history of the world.
Yes.
I mean, that's an astounding thing.
Yes. And I also don't think that's coincidence.
No.
That's part why I'm vocal about it.
Yeah. It's a truly amazing thing. Now, like every human institution that humans participate in, it's got its flaws, it's got its shortcomings.
There are sinners in the church. Yeah. In every church, there are sinners.
That's right.
That's why I also get irritated when people leave the church because of sinners in the church.
Yeah. they're only in the church, you can't find them outside of it?
I mean, if you leave the church because there are sinners at the church, you haven't understood the problem.
That's right. It's like going into the hospital and saying, there's all these sick people. What's with all the sick people here? Yeah. I thought this institution was supposed to make people better. But of course, Jesus speaks directly to that.
Something that's always on my mind that my mother, that's another thing. I really got a good relationship to my parents again, especially to my mother after I came back, because I was very detached. I mean, I visited them often, but I was very detached from them in a way. And now we have like really a better relationship. I have a better relationship to my brother. It's really, I mean.
yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, churches wouldn't still be around if they weren't doing something for people. It's just and true.
Yeah. And I think it's the only thing that helps.
Yeah.
It really is the only thing that helps. And that's the thing with the resurrection. Yeah. Either it is true or it is not.
Yeah. Well, and if it's true, wow, what does that mean? I mean, that's...
Yeah, what does that mean? And for me, the answer is clear. But yeah.
So what are your... you're no longer a chicken in a cage.
I'm a bit of chicken in a cage. I still go to work and still spend my time at home, like on the couch a lot of times. Now mainly because the work is really exhausting. So I at least am a bit more guilt-free from that.
Yeah. So what are your goals? Where do you want your life to go?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm still looking for the family, I would say.
Yeah. Well, that's a big piece. Mm. But that's, you know, I am very confident it will happen. I'll say that. Just there's sometimes that you meet people and it's like, well, I don't know. And then they find a way and they find someone and it goes. But I've got confidence in you. I do. You've got a track record, you know, and you might say, well, I didn't bust right out of the gate, but here's the thing about having a story like you have and a path that you had. For some people, everything is easy, and it's easy because of their parents. It's easy because of their big five personality matrix. It's easy because of the stuff that landed in their lap in life. For them, everything is easy. You know, you haven't had it the worst in the world. You haven't had it the easiest in the world. Struggle.
No, I think I had it pretty easy.
struggle. It's important that people struggle because you learn things through struggle that we don't tend to learn any other way. So, you know, God will, through, again, C.S. Lewis, pain is a megaphone, is God's megaphone to a deaf world. In struggle, we look to him. And so, no, yours is a good story. If you allow me to share this video, yours is a story which, you know, everybody's story is unique, but there are patterns within stories, and you've sort of got in some ways the Jordan Peterson going back to church story. I mean, it's all the elements are there. So, but that's cool. That's cool. I like that. And I'm honored to have at least had a part in that. So that's just terrific.
Yeah, I think you had a big part in it.
Well, thank you.
Next to Peterson.
Well, we've got 7 or 8 minutes left here. Any questions you wanted? The time is yours.
I really have any questions. Maybe the point I wanted to make earlier than before I went off was like this. Something that stuck out to me always ever since my mother put me on that, I was basically complaining to her about the world. And she kept repeating this line from the Our Father, in German, of course, Erlöse uns von dem Bösen, deliver us from evil. Mm. And I would keep complaining. She said, That's the world coming in. You have this, she explained to me this situation, like you have seen, there was this moment and you have seen the good in that, and then the world came in. And it's, that was an important piece of the puzzle. Okay. Like, deliver us from evil. Why is that in there? Because it's always there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It is. I'll be preaching on the Lord's Supper in a couple, not the Lord's Supper, on the Lord's Prayer in a couple of weeks. But it's an astounding prayer. I mean, the thing we don't appreciate is selection, especially in something so short. Look at the, you know, look at what's there and what isn't. Look at how briefly. There's a reason it is what it is. And, you know, Peterson was always really good at pointing those kinds of things out. That is an excellent deliver us from evil. Why is that in there? Well, because this is exactly what all of us have to deal with.
Yeah.
So, well, looks like you're going to give me a few extra minutes between, and I should go check with my deacons who are here because the air conditioning guy is coming, because Lord willing, this Sunday we sort of open. We'll see what we're able to do. But yeah,
I still haven't been really back to Mass yet because
yeah.
Because I'm kind of put off by it. I mean, we already have them again. But you have to apply for it, and there's no singing. And
there's no singing?
There's no singing.
Church yeah. without singing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we had that conversation as a council, and it's somewhere like, well, they say singing is dangerous, and a lot of the other people are like, we're going to do church without singing. We'll wear masks. It won't be fun to sing with masks, but. We'll try it that way, because the whole point of coming together, singing is a strange thing, how it somehow bonds the group into something, practice.
It's very important. There was, have you watched that Jonathan Peugeot video with that author? They were talking about the protests, and she said how it was odd that there was, with a protest, that with a movement, there was no music. There's no music associated with it.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting.
She, Chloe Valdery pointed that out too. You know, because in past protests, you know, I can think of the songs for those past protests, but it speaks to the, it speaks to their difficulty in creating a principality, because singing is a big piece of that. And
I mean, it's in Revelation.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
The angels are singing.
That's right. The angels are singing. The throng before the Lamb and before the throne are singing. No, that's right. It's how we Voltron in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's also where the physicality is.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Well, Andreas, I will share this with you. And you can tell me whether or not I can share it with the rest of the world and see if your neuroticism score makes you a little nervous, or if you just want to share it with the Discord. But
I will definitely share it with the Discord.
Okay.
There are some people very eager for it.
I know. But I'm so glad we had this time together, because it's you know, I mean, you're easy to spot because you're always first when I check the comments, and you're on the Discord. And
I also don't shut up on the Discord.
And then I see you writing on the Discord, and I hear your voice on the Discord Q&A, but it's a pleasure to just get some time this way. So the resolution of you gets greater and greater for me, and that's a beautiful thing. So, Well, thank you, Andrea. So I will probably post this. I'll probably put it on YouTube, unlisted, and I'll send you the link, and you can share it on the Discord, and then you can let the Discord, those on the Discord decide if we should share it on the full channel. So
now that's a very good idea.
Okay,
that's what we'll do. All for outsourcing decisions.
That's right. Not a problem. Well, you take care, and thanks so much for grabbing a slot.
Yeah, thank you for freeing one up that I could get.
Well, you have a good evening.
Thank you. You have a good morning, noon.
Yes, yes, getting there. All right, bye-bye.